T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. 12 o'clock hour, Jay Binkley with Steven Serta. Hoping you're having a good Friday the 13th. Last Saturday was a lot more fun than I think tomorrow is going to be. The Army-Navy game is going to be fantastic. Looking forward to that for a college football fix. But last weekend, he had the college football championship games. And again, I told you I wasn't going to do anything, and I didn't. I just watched football all day. By the way, Chiefs practice going on right now, and as Steven said in the update, we'll hear from Andy Reid live at 1 o'clock from Sam McDowell, the beat writer for the Kansas City Star and the Chiefs, him and Herbie. Says Frank Clark jogged onto the practice field moments ago after they started stretching, which is the portion open to the media. Damian Williams was not present. Rashad Fenton standing off to the side. Damian Williams not going to play, Serta. Is he? I know he got back to practice this week. It was limited. Do you expect him to go at all? I don't. There's no need to rush him back at this point if you're trying to sandbag him a little bit and get production from him down the stretch. But I wouldn't play him until he's 100%, especially when you got Darwin, McCoy, and now Spencer Ware. It doesn't really matter, does it? Or do you need to see him? Are you on that Damian Williams bandwagon?
I mean, I don't think they need Damian Williams. No. So if he's not healthy, then just don't play him.
How would you disperse the carries? Because do you think there's a trend with Spencer Ware getting the most carries? Didn't start the game, McCoy did, but he got the most carries, followed by McCoy, followed by Darwin Thompson. Do you think, it would say Damian Williams doesn't play?
I don't think they care about the running game. I don't think that it matters who's productive in that regard, because I think Darwin Thompson's probably the most talented running back on the team, the most explosive guy, but he can't block. Shady fumbles. Spencer Ware's the most complete back they have right now, I guess.
He was cut by the Colts.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, he was injured. But, like, Spencer Ware's not a bad player, not trying to discredit what he's capable of. But they don't need the running game, and I don't think that they view the running game as something that is drastically important. I think all they care about, really, is making sure that you pick up your blocks and you don't let Patrick Mahomes get hit by a linebacker who's just running free.
That's the one part about Darwin Thompson's game we've seen the most improvement on, is that pass blocking. He has gotten better. It was a concern. You know, it's about understanding the system, understanding the scheme, understand what they're expecting from you. He hadn't been asked really to do this. You know, now he's asked to do it. In training camp, he was getting better at it. He's getting blown up at first. And again, it doesn't matter how big you are, because he's big. He's 5'8", 200. But when I mean big, I mean rocked up. But you're not going to play if you can't pass protect at all. Here's the thing. We sit here on the outside and say, I don't know if the Chiefs need a running game. I actually think they do. I think the Chiefs need the running game, especially this year. When you have a quarterback that's not been 100%, which Pat Mahomes has not been 100% this year, I think you need the running game. I think it's been imperative. That's one part of the offense that I feel it would be better. And I remember Darwin Thompson against the Raiders at the end of the game. You weren't putting a lot of pressure on your quarterback. Pat didn't have to really do anything. Didn't light up the screen. Didn't need to, because Darwin Thompson was able to move the chains and run the football. And I do think that running does take that pressure off the quarterback. Again, let's look at some of the best running teams in the NFL. Ravens, playoff team, probably the best team in football. Number two running team, San Francisco 49ers. Number two team in football, if you want to be honest. Seattle Seahawks, great team. Vikings, Bills, playoff team. Then the Colts, fringe. Texans, fringe. Titans, Browns, Cowboys.
Yeah, the Saints aren't a particularly good running team.
They're not.
Alvin Kamara has been awful this
year. He's been terrible. It's an outlier. But again, it's Drew Brees. Again, you're saying if you have an elite quarterback, you can get by. I'm just saying some of these top teams in the NFL, they can run the football. Because that translates anywhere you're playing. It doesn't matter about wind. It doesn't matter about rain. It doesn't matter about snow. If you can run the rock, you can run the rock.
Well, of course you want to run the football. I don't think that, like, the Ravens, I don't think are a good example of Well, they're the best running team in football. That has contributed to their success. Lamar Jackson's been incredible.
No question.
And Lamar Jackson, his ability to run makes all of the other guys better because you can't contain Lamar Jackson, and it takes the focus off of Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards and those guys. And Lamar's also become a very complete passer, if you ask me. He's very accurate on his deep throws now. He can stretch the field. He's perfectly fine hanging in the pocket and delivering the football. But, yes, I think you want to be able to run the football, but I don't think you have to run the football, especially if you're not good at it, and the Chiefs just aren't good at it this year. They don't have anybody who's particularly talented, which was a huge problem I had going into the season. I remember arguing with people for months about Damian Williams.
How many
Chiefs fans told me Damian Williams was an elite talent who had never gotten any opportunity? Like, nah, man. He couldn't beat out Jay Ajayi in Miami. He couldn't beat out Kenyon Drake in Miami. There's a reason for that. He's a fine player, but if he's going to be the guy you're going to bank on carrying your rushing attack, it's just not going to work. And the Chiefs knew that. That's why they brought in LeSean McCoy at the beginning of the season.
I mean, you look at the production from the running backs, and I think they thought they were fine. Obviously, you have Pat Mahomes, you can get by. The Saints have had a good running game. I mean, when Mark Ingram is there and Alvin Kamara, I mean, it's good backs. Well, the Ravens are going to have 2,000-yard rushers. I mean, that's old school because Lamar Jackson's one, Mark Ingram's the other. Mark Ingram, a nice, cool 5 yards a carry. He's got 963 yards rushing. He'll go over the 1,000-yard barrier in the next game. So that's 2 1,000-yard rushers that they have. If Jackson's not carrying the load all the time, hand it off. Hand it off 5 yards a carry to Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram's doing a great job for that offense. I think the Saints did want that. I mean, obviously, when Ingram was there and Kamara, that was a good running team. And Alvin's not produced like they think.
He's been injured a lot this year.
No, he has. No question about it. But it makes your team more rounded. If you have that elite quarterback, but yet you have a running game as well, it's just those games. The games where you're in the altitude or you're in the rain or your knee gets hurt or your ankle gets hurt. And instead of throwing like little screen passes, where you become predictable, you're able to run the football and kind of take the will out of the opponent. But, yes, I'm with you on Damian Williams. See, I've been lockstep with you on that. I didn't like when he was named the starter when, you know, because they did. They need this. Here's our running back. And I was like, let's go to St. Joe and see who the starter is going to be. Let's see what Darwin's got. You know, let's see what other running backs can do at that point. It was Carlos Hyde. What can these guys do? Who's earned the job? And Damian Williams has never had more than 50 carries in a season. Hell, he's already eclipsed that this year, even with the injuries. And if you're going to say, well, he did great last year down the stretch, yes, he did. And a lot of people are saying, who needs Kareem Hunt? I mean, you're not saying it now. You're not saying it now, but you were saying that in the playoffs, like, oh, who needs Kareem Hunt? It's an afterthought. Running backs are dime a dozen. Sometimes they are and sometimes they aren't. Now, you don't have to go in the first round. You definitely don't have to do that. But I feel it's important. The running game, I mean, the Ravens average over 200 yards a game on the ground. Lamar Jackson's a big thing, but that's 56 more yards than anybody else in the NFL. It's insane what they're doing, controlling the football, running the clock. They ran up and down on the Patriots. It's how they won. It wasn't through the air. It was just pounding the New England Patriots. That's why they have to be concerned. The Chiefs are not good at stopping the run. The Ravens are exceptional at running the football. That should be a concern with the Baltimore Ravens. That's why I'm saying this team will be the biggest obstacle to get to the Super Bowl. Doesn't mean they can't beat them because the Chiefs have. Pat Mahomes is 2-0 against Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has 3 losses as a starter. That's not the concern at all. But running the football, I think, is imperative. And, yes, there was a difference to not having Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt with this team makes a difference. Damian Williams looks good in flashes. He had that great wheel route where he caught the ball out of the backfield and in preseason. This is what, one catch in the preseason? Wheel route, perfect. He goes to the end zone, boom. What talent's he playing against in that game, in that competition right there? Who's he playing? But then he had that 90-plus yard run, that one that Tyreek Hill caught him on, and Damian Williams is quick. Damian is fast.
That's his one productive run of the season.
That's it. I'm with you. Like, I agree 100% with you because I've been saying this, and I've been arguing with people. BK's one of them. I've argued with him about this. I've argued the fact of Damian Williams. I'm not sold on it. Carlos didn't show a lot in St. Joe, but there was times it's like, Is he not the best back on this team? And I understand why McCoy's here. They needed him. Darwin Thompson, I think, is going to start seeing his role increased.
I just don't understand the logic that, well, Damian Williams produced at the end of last season, so that proves he is a talented running back. I never said he was completely lacking in talent. I do believe that he is not talented enough to be the lead running back in your backfield, especially when you're supposed to be the best team in the NFL. And plenty of running backs have gone on stretches where they've been highly productive. That does not mean anything. Jay Ajayi went on a stretch where he had like 3 out of 4 200-yard games or something like that. Jay Ajayi's lucky he's even on an NFL roster now. Like, there's plenty of guys. You remember Thomas Rawls? Remember Thomas Rawls had a breakout season for the Seattle Seahawks, then disappeared. You remember Zach Stacy? Had a 1,000-yard season for the St. Louis Rams and then disappeared.
It's probably going to happen to Chris Carson. He's seventh-round pick. He looks good. He's probably going to disappear.
It happens, especially with running backs. The number one predictive factor of future impact on a game is what the guys have done before and how impactful they've been in long stretches of time. Damian Williams has never done it. Aside from that, like, 5-game stretch he had with the Chiefs last season.
Can we look at this factor, too? Yes, Damian Williams produced at the end of the year. And, again, you're talking to somebody here that's been saying the exact same thing you have, Serta. I looked at it like this. You had guys playing out of their mind. Tyreek Hill was insane. Travis Kelce, insane. Pat Mahomes was more insane than all of them. This guy won the MVP. Didn't that make the job easier for Damian Williams, the way that Mahomes and this offense was working? Yeah. You know why? The threat of the deep ball. Like, if he can't plant and throw the deep ball and his hands hurt like it was against New England, they're going to start creeping up. That's what New Englanders do. He starts creeping up, bring those safeties up. Now, if he's chucking the ball around the yard, it's going to open up running lanes for Damian Williams. I thought that Damian Williams' success last year at the end of the year was due to the fact that Patrick Mahomes was so good. Now, all of a sudden, you need the running game because of the ankle or Matt Moore's in the game. And all of a sudden, you need that running game. No text line. We're not going to get Jamal Charles. He's done. He already had his retirement. I think that's what you mean. Maybe you don't. Yeah, text line. Close out games. I'm with you. There was nothing better than that Dick Vermeil offense. He's going to be beating the drum, by the way. Dick Vermeil that joined us earlier this week. He's going to be beating the drum at Arrowhead on that drum deck. They have now. I think that's actually a pretty cool tradition they've started. But, yeah, close out games. You close them out at the end. Priest just taking your soul away. Larry Johnson taking your soul away. Moving the chains, getting that first down. That's fun to see. I had so much fun. I mean, I remember we came off of the post game with Pete. I didn't even want to talk about the offensive woes in that game. I used the wind excuse like it was going out of style. I didn't care. I liked the way the defense played, I'm glad the special team scored, and I loved what Darwin Thompson was doing. It's like, whoa, this is what we need. That's the one thing that hasn't come through, and you're saying what's the one thing for the Chiefs that you'd fix? I mean, there's several things. Obviously, stopping running backs, receiving the ball out of the backfield, getting better in the run game, that's obvious. My other thing is being able to run the ball effectively. Right now it's 4.1 yards per carry, and again, that's a byproduct of how Pat Mahomes is backing up that defense. But the run defense, not good. DVOA, that has the Chiefs secondary at 6th in the NFL. Run defense still 30th. And that's where they are in real stats, too. Run defense 30th in the NFL. They struggled on that. The Denver Broncos, by the way, if you want to know what they're doing, the Denver Broncos in total offense 27th. Now, keep in mind, different quarterback. So don't even look at where the Denver Broncos are on that. 27th in points per game, 18.2. They don't score a lot. Again, different deal. They wouldn't put 38 points up on the Texans. Third down percentage of the Denver Broncos, again, they're terrible. They're 30th in the NFL. 31% on third down. That's atrocious. That's what the Broncos' percentage is. Now, part of the problem is different quarterbacks. So we can't look at that stat. Now, the Chiefs' defense, third down, they're 45% the offense is 45% on third down. The Chiefs' defense, actually pretty good again on third down percentage, 35%. Other team success rate against this defense. Chiefs' offense on third down, 45%. That's fifth in the NFL. They've been very good on third downs. But the Denver Broncos, you know, can they run the ball? Well, I mean, they're okay. Not great. Run offense, 18th in the league, just 4.2 per. Chiefs are 4.1 per. But the offensive line in Denver is like Swiss cheese at times. They've given up 37 sacks. That's 12th in the NFL. Chiefs have given up the fourth fewest amount of sacks with 21 on the season. But, of course, Chiefs got to Joe Flacco nine different times. Nine different times did they get to him in that game. But, you know, again, like Denver's a hard team to grade. If we're going to sit here and look at Denver and grade them out of what they're doing, because it's a different quarterback, so it's just different. Plus minus, the Chiefs seventh in the NFL, plus seven. Denver's actually plus one on the season, and they're 15th in the NFL. Now, as far as the Broncos' defense, 12th in the NFL, they're still not up there, fourth or whatever they were the first time. 10th in points per game. The run defense is 21st. Pass defense is 6th. So it's their strength is their pass defense, not their run defense. So maybe the Chiefs will be able to run in this game. I would like to see them stretch the field out. Use Mecole Hardman. Use Tyreek Hill. Use the speed that everybody's afraid of. This was an interesting exchange, speaking of the speed that the Broncos were talking about. Here's head coach Vic Fangio, on how many have you seen many players like Tyreek Hill in that speed? This stuff's pretty good stuff.
No. Obviously, there's been some fast guys, but I do think he's the fastest that I've seen in my time. And he's very athletic. He's not just a straight line, you know, track guy fast. He changed direction on a dime real quick. Great runner after the catch. Probably be a hell of a punt returner if they wanted him to be. He's super talented.
See, he is a punt returner, Vic. I'm sure he knows that. I'm sure. But not all the time. But sometimes they put him back there. I would like to see him more. When healthy, put him back there. Keep in mind, this guy's been coaching since 1979. Never seen anybody faster. You know, he's been defensive coordinator with the Panthers. He's been an LB coach in Carolina. He was in the USFL back in those days. The guy's been a defensive assistant for the Ravens. This guy's been everywhere. 49ers, Bears, you name it, with defense. And he said he's never seen anybody faster than that. Then he was asked how you slow a guy down like Tyreek Hill.
It's hard, you know. And what makes it harder is they got a lot of other good players, you know, and Kelce and Hardman, the rookie, he's really fast too. Sammy Watkins, you know, and you got a scrambling quarterback that's very athletic. So him in and of itself is even made better by the guys he's playing with.
So that was that. And then someone asked him to clarify if he's legitimately the fastest person he's ever seen. Again, this guy's been he started off coaching high school, but coaching since 1979 with all those teams, seen all those players in the NFL. And you're a defensive coordinator or a linebackers coach, you're looking at speed, and you're looking at the speed of players that you're playing against. I thought it was pretty high praise from Vic Fangio, which we've had a lot of fun with this week. Actually, I'm finding it more and more interesting the more he talks, to be honest with you. I don't like his playoff system or scheduling system where you play all the teams. But still, I like the idea that he's willing to do it. He was asked to clarify, is Tyreek Hill really the fastest player you've ever seen?
Do you think he is the fastest you've seen, though?
I do. I really do. And, yeah, I do. You know, when I was with the Niners, we played the Steelers when Mike Wallace was young, and he was really, really fast. And I'd have to think, would have to ask Steve to go back to his days. I can't remember that far, but this guy is really definitely the fastest. The only guy that's come close, and he wasn't a receiver, was Bo Jackson. I remember coaching against him. Dion's too. So those three names tell you fast.
They're worried about it, man. They talk about that speed. People this year have been talking about Bill Belichick was going on and on about Mecole Hardman before they even played him. You know, talking about his speed. Ed Donatell is a defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos, and he was asked about Vic Fangio, the head coach, saying that Tyreek Hill is the fastest he's seen with Bo and Deion Sanders. Would you consider that? This is what he had to say.
Yeah, I think he's right up there with those guys. And you see, when you see a guy playing with NFL players, that looks fast and separating from them, then you know he's special. And there's just a few guys in that conversation.
We talk about how hard it is to draft a quarterback and get it right. There should also be some credit given to drafting a guy that fast to understand that speed. In a game where everybody's fast and can take it to the house, the Chiefs have that guy. Not only that, they have 1B as well. Tyreek Hill's 1A. He's 1B. It's that speed that they have, the speed that they possess. It's tough to stop. In Mecole Hardman, this guy's been extremely productive this year when he gets the opportunity. I think he's going to see his role increase and increase more. Still a, probably a, I'd say he's probably still a number three wide receiver with this team. I would say probably at this point that's what he would be. Can he be better than that? I don't know. I wouldn't say he can't be because guess what? We didn't know how good Tyreek Hill was going to be until he just, you know, constantly worked, he trained, and he started to run the routes. And he, in my opinion, he's the best receiver in the NFL. Mecole Hardman, 24 catches, 498, almost 500 yards, 6 touchdowns. He had one called back. Remember, 72 yards. So he'd have been at like 574 with 7 touchdowns and 25 catches, had that one counted against the Raiders. That's amazing production for just 24 catches. 20.8-yard average. That is 2 yards more than any other receiver. Matt Moore, Patrick Mahomes have a 153.6 rating when throwing to Mecole Hardman. Yes, I would like to see his role increased. They're certainly worried about it. They're certainly waiting for Mecole Hardman to step up. And I understand. And I understand why they're waiting for him to step up because of the speed, the skill. Trying to stop Tyreek Hill is one thing, but oh no, they have two of these guys, which makes it tougher and tougher. Vic Fangio, when he called the Kansas City media on the conference call, was talking about Hardman in his rookie season, kind of what he's seen from him.
It's been impressive, but not surprising. He was a guy that we really liked in the draft, and, you know, different scenarios, we had hoped that it would work out, that we would have got him. But so it's not surprising to us, but I think he's made a great adjustment. You know, he comes from a great program at Georgia. They do a really good job of coaching in Kansas City, and they have a offense that fits his talent, and they're utilizing
him. Utilize the talents. The Broncos said they were interested in Hardman throughout the draft process. And again, Belichick was going on how good he is, the Chiefs' speed. Utilize it. Make them pay. And I think they will, and I think they held back to some extent against the Patriots because of the hand of Patrick Mahomes. Just wasn't able to grip it as much as what you would hope for throwing the football downfield. Things could change and things could turn on a dime. And again, as you start going towards the postseason, understand what your strengths are. Your strengths aren't running the football right now. I wish it was, but it's not. What's the biggest strength? Well, yeah, it's clearly Travis Kelce over the middle. Spread him out. Utilize the speed. That's what all these defensive coordinators talk about is Andy Reid utilizing all the real estate. He's spreading the ball around. He's smart. They talk about Andy Reid making adjustments, understanding defenses, how to attack them. That's exactly what he does. But you kidding me with Hardman on the team, with Tyreek Hill? And DeMarcus Robinson is fast, too. Don't get me wrong. DeMarcus Robinson is fast. Sammy Watkins is actually a quick guy, too. They possess speed. They'd beat any team in this NFL with four wide receivers. You have a 4x100, smoke them. Utilize that. Make them pay. Make them fear it. And, again, it comes back to fear. How much are you fearing the Kansas City Chiefs, and what are you fearing about them? Used to be that you feared Arrowhead Stadium. Hadn't been as much lately. They've lost a couple games at home. So that fear factor has dissipated. Patrick Mahomes factor, you fear. Tyreek Hill, you fear. And the good news is it looks like teams are starting to maybe fear this defense a little bit, this aggressive defense. They'll come after you. They'll rattle you. Do you think they're going to take it easy on Drew Lock after a pressure rate of 41.5% against Tom Brady? I mean, Spags was going all out, man. He's like, yeah, Edelman, you'll get your little yards here and there, but we're coming after Brady. We're going to make him uncomfortable. They were terrible on third down, 2 of 12. The highest pressure rate that Brady had seen all year was 30.8%. Chiefs were 41.5 when he dropped back. Unbelievable. Spags was sitting in the house. He said the way that we beat this guy is to blitz him, and that's exactly what they did. So the Chiefs' defense brings that fear factor in as well. Really making the Chiefs well-balanced. Do you think, when does the team really fear the defense and offense? Because if you're not respecting this defense, they'll slap you in the face. and they've got some dogs now to do it. They should. Like, Frank Clark should be a nightmare for opposing offensive tackles when they go to sleep at night before the game, thinking, man, I gotta bring it with this guy because he's going to eat me up. With his strength, his attitude, he's going to eat me up. Chris Jones has definitely already got to that point where people fear him. Harold Kuntz, Fox 4, covers the Kansas City Chiefs. The guy's everywhere. Was in busy week for him. Was in New England covering the Chiefs. Then, boom, he was in Columbia with the coaching hire at the University of Missouri, Eli Drinkwitz. He's in studio with me as we take a long, hard look at the Chiefs-Broncos next.
Middays, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back, 12:30, Friday the 13th. Jay Binkley, Steven Serta, producing the operation. And my guy, Harold Kuntz, Fox 4, who's been all over the place, man. I don't know how you're doing it. You were in New England. You go with the Chiefs on the road. At least it seems like you're always there. I assume you go every time.
Mostly every time.
Mostly every time. Harold R. Kuntz, follow him on Twitter, at Harold R. Kuntz, sports anchor and a reporter over at Fox 4 News. And he was in Columbia as well. That was a quick turnaround, New England, the Drinkwitz.
Yeah, it's been a long week. But no, it was fine. It was fine. It was fine. Actually, full disclosure, I mean, New England was a long enough week. We didn't get back till like late Monday. And then I was going to go to Columbia, and then we just sent one of our distinguished photographers, and I just like watched a web feed. But I watched the whole thing, and outside of laughing at the SEC East Sun Belt comments.
Oh, yeah, it was nice.
I mean, you know, every new head coaching job in college is wait and see. You know, it's going to be sure. The same way no matter what. Even with Chris Klieman, as successful mm-hmm. as he was at 8-4, it's still going to be wait and see. This guy's going to be wait and see. But, I mean, he's an exciting offensive mind, which is kind of the new thing right now. So, and somebody made a correlation how he's about the same age as Lincoln Riley, and he's got the same kind of offensive concepts. Mm-hmm. He wants to be inventive, and you got to create new things. You got to keep adapting. And he wants to do that. Now he just has to do it with – He has to find the people. He first has to retain the recruits that they have and then try to go out and find people that fits his system.
Yeah, and Klieman, you know, what he did with Bill Snyder's play. Here's the one thing about Klieman, though. He's picked ninth in the Big 12. Like, there was not anybody.
Oh,
yeah,
there's
really,
no ceiling, yeah.
That's huge. I mean, but Kansas State's used to that. They're used to, you know, that car. I don't think Kansas State would like being picked first or second. I don't think they'd like it. I think they liked using it as, yeah.
They've always been like sixth or seventh, and then Bill Snyder would always get them to second or third. Like,
yeah, with Sproles, there was a couple years that with Bishop there, they might have been ranked a little bit higher. I had to go back and look to where they were preseason, but they always carried that chip. And then Kansas hasn't won more than three games since 2009. We're talking a decade. Drinkwitz is at Springdale, Arkansas, still coaching high school football.
7-8 football in Arkansas, man. That's good stuff, yeah. Springdale and Harbaugh and all those guys down there in Northwest Arkansas.
But you work with Malzahn.
Yeah. All the Walmart money flowing around over there.
Yeah. Then you Doran at North Carolina State. So he's, you know, got. But Kansas, I mean, again, I can't pin this completely on Les Miles until he gets some guys.
He's got some.
He needs a quarterback.
Years.
Carter Stanley was good, but he needs his guy.
He's got so many years. But
they're wasting Puka.
The return on recruits, it seems like it's decent. So
they're wasting
so
Puka.
Far.
Wasting Puka.
Yeah, and you know the shelf life on running backs. I mean, he might pull a, he might just try to test the waters. I'm gonna blame him. I would. I mean, it's just a business decision. I wouldn't blame him. You know, do it while you're young and you still got legs around you. So,
well, one thing I enjoyed from your Twitter account, Harold, was your conversation with Chris Jones after that Patriots game.
Yeah,
to me, Chris Jones is always a very likable guy, and he still is, and always will be. But he seems like about business now. I was asking Desmond about that too. I said, does Chris Jones seem like he's all about business? And he is. He was talking about 16 points. He tell you, 16 points we gave up on the road. Yeah. He didn't seem satisfied with that. He thought they could be better.
That's the whole
defense.
Which
I would have taken that.
That's the whole defense. Steve Spagnuolo yesterday basically said, what I really appreciated about the guys was that, you know, we are steadily improving, but they are still not satisfied and their best is yet to come. And that's exactly the attitude you have to have as you come toward the stretch run. Because these guys know that there's still things they're missing. There's still openings that they're getting. And for him to say 16 points, and honestly, those 16 points the Patriots had, trick plays, you know, that was the first touchdown. I mean, you know, they're set up, and you can argue whether or not the Patriots should have had a couple touchdowns off of referee discrepancies. But the fact of the matter is they held them to 16 points. It was really trick plays. The Patriots were hopeless. That was a hopeless team that was playing there on Sunday. From what I saw, that was a hopeless team playing. And I get it. You want to evaluate Tom Brady for the past, but right now in the present, this is a team that has receivers that cannot get space, with the exception of Julian Edelman. It's an offensive line that is in complete shambles. That's really where it's getting been bad. I mean, the first eight games, Brady got sacked maybe 9-10 times. He's gotten sacked 10 times in the second half of the season alone because they played A, better competition, but B, there's defensive lines that they're facing that can just eat. Frank Clark, Chris Jones, those guys can eat. Alex Okafor was getting basically he got sacked because of Chris Jones. It's they mean business. Chris Jones is a great guy. Yeah, he's great. He gets it.
He's going to get paid a lot too.
He should be.
Yeah. He's a dominant player. And here's the thing with the Chiefs. You know, you think about that mindset they had. I like what Spags talked yesterday. You were probably down there for it. The things he was saying, like he likes what the guys are saying. He goes, we know we have the right guys.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. We got the right guys that aren't ever satisfied with where they're at right now. Was there a particular time that you noticed this defense? Because Clark Hunt, after the game in New England, was talking about he knew it'd take some time in a new system. But he looked at Chargers game, yeah, and he said that's when we flipped the switch. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know if he used those terms. I've been using the flip the switch because I think halftime of the Chargers game, because the Chargers were moving the ball all over the place in that first half. But something about it, the adjustments by Spagnuolo, and we've seen three straight games of this. And I've been waiting on the edge from the deep end. Before I jump in, I want to jump in so bad on this defense. but I've been careful with it because they've been so bad against the run. They'll look great like Denver. 9 sacks and 5 against the Packers, but you let the Packers, you know, take your soul away with the run game, you know, backing you up to the 1-yard line. All right, so you just cautiously wait. Then the Vikings, like, whoo, Dalvin Cook, Stephon Diggs, great game for the defense. All right, my foot's over on the ledge.
And what's so great, that was the run defense.
Yeah.
That was amazing. That was amazing because you held the number Cook, one rusher.
And Stephon Diggs yards. Was red hot.
Yes.
Coming in, averaging like 7 catches for 138 yards the 3 previous games. And you had the NFC Offensive Player of the Month and Kirk Cousins. Held him in check. But then Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's a problem. And it's been a problem for this defense. Titans are a real problem they're a real problem. And Tannehill's
good.
And Tannehill beat him at the end. At the first, like, man, Tannehill did it. Well, he's 6-1 as a starter, so we weren't sure we're getting this right. But anyway, with these last three games, I've decided to jump on in the water. Too soon or no?
First off, two things. Let me go back to the Titans thing because LeSean McCoy was in the locker room in New England. He was kind of asking around, like, so what happened with the results because he wasn't following around. And we said, well, actually, you're third. Right now, you're fourth, and the Titans are there. And the first thing he said, like, man, I still can't believe we lost that game. I mean, but that's obvious. But now you look back at Tannehill, and you're like, okay.
Well, it was a game they could have won.
That's absolutely a game they should have won. I mean, Andy Reid said it himself. He said it himself, like, all right, that's on me. But going back to your point about defense, should you jump on board? Well, let's see. They get a guy making his third start coming up, and then they get Mitch Trubisky the following week, which might not be a night game. And
he's been better as of late, though.
He's been better
give it to Mitch
as
on
of
that.
Late, but I think that's because those guys are trying to save their jobs.
But the best thing about Chicago is Mahomes is a constant reminder. Yeah. You screwed up.
Exactly. And then you end with old man Rivers at the end. So the defense is going to look, by default, pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Jumping on board at this point really becomes a matter of...
I'm full on swimming now, Aaron.
Yeah, I would jump on board just because of the opponent you're facing right now. But I do think that the defensive line eats. The linebackers are, remember at the beginning of the season, the open field tackling was a problem? That's been shored up a little bit. And then the secondary, I mean, Juan Thornhill's come of age. He's getting it now. Tyrann Mathieu's an undisputed leader in that deep secondary unit. They're getting it. Even without Mo Claiborne, Rashad Fenton, they're still making good plays. Kendall Fuller's still, like, they're doing deep. I mean, they get beat every now and again. Like, Charvarius Ward's a couple of guys. They're going to get beat every now and again, but that's football.
Yeah.
So you get to it, like, can we stop them on third down? New England was 2 of 13, I believe, on third down.
It was bad.
That's huge. That's where you got to stop them. And they get off the field, Gibbs keeps them rested.
Well, the good news is Chiefs are doing well on third down percentage, top five.
Huge.
And then defensively, they're great on third down percentage stops.
That's so what it's about. That's get them off.
Yep. Get them on the field
force
on third down.
And long and then stop them.
Yeah. We're talking to Harold R. Koontz. Follow him on Twitter, at Harold R. Koontz. You've probably seen him on Fox 4. He's all over the place with sports there. Him and Rob do a great job over there with that. Who are you attributing it to? Because if I said, is this Spags? Is this a combination of Spags and the staff, Matt House, Brendan Daly, Sam Madison, DeGarrett, all them, or Merritt, or is it Frank Clark, the Honey Badger, coming in. Like, who would you attribute most of this defense to if I said you had to pick one thing?
If I had to pick one thing, I'd attribute it to the leadership skills of Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark. The different culture they brought in from the beginning, everybody's on board with it now. This week, the conversation's really been around the secondary with Tyrann Mathieu and how good of a leader he's been, how he just has that energy when he enters the room. Everybody kind of tends to follow him as a leader. And
that was the theme, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing, but you see the product on the field now. And then if you list that one, then all the defensive schemes and everything that Spagnuolo brings, that gets all incorporated and makes one nice, beautiful mix. For now, at least. That's how it looks on the field. But Tyrann Mathieu, his leadership qualities has really gotten Juan Thornhill on board. It's gotten, I mean, they've mentioned how all these secondaries, you got veteran players, you've got rookies, you've got guys from different teams all kind of mixing together, and it takes time. It reminds me a lot of an NBA regular season where it takes 20, 30, 40 games to be like, oh, okay, you're finally like, you look like something that could be, I mean, you didn't put the Heat together. They still started like 11-11 before they went off. You know, it takes time. These guys have taken time now. It may have taken them more time than a fan might have wanted, but now they've come taking time. And I think that all starts with Mr. Honey Badger right there.
I'll never forget the night that they signed Mr. Badger. We were sitting here, and, you know, the Chiefs hadn't really done things, and people were upset. And I was like, just, let's calm down. Hey, there's no time. I mean, there's still plenty of time to do something. Plenty of time. And they signed the Honey Badger. And I was on the air when they did it, and I was excited about it. I've been a fan of his since back at LSU because of what he can do. I just like the way he plays. And, you know, going back to when he finished fifth in the Heisman in 2011, I like the way he plays, but I liked his attitude because I knew that, you know, with the new scheme change, they need a guy like that. You know, Eric Berry is a guy like that, but you got to play too. You got to be a leader and you got to play. And I looked at the guy like Tyrann Mathieu and thought, all right, this guy's going to play and he's a leader. He was in Houston 5 days before they made him a team captain. When he went to the Texans,
yeah,
and that's what. And then Frank Clark, when he came later, because I remember talking. Pete Sweeney and I interviewed the Honey Badger after he signed his contract because he had said that Pat Mahomes had called him on the phone, and he said that that phone conversation, like, I got the offense, you take the defense. I was like, there's Pat telling him, you be the guy. I need the Pat Mahomes on defense. And then when they signed Frank Clark's nasty man, and he plays with a chip. He plays with an edge. That's what this team needs.
He plays with a chip. He was playing with half of a stomach. On Sunday.
How bad was it?
I mean, I asked Frank Clark simply, how are you feeling after the game in New England? He said, I felt like, word I can't say, but figure it out.
We know what you're saying.
Figure it out. And then you come to find out that he needed multiple IVs, and then the plane ride was terrible. You know, it's like, does he need to be quarantined? And here he is today. He's already out in the field practicing, you know, and he's ready to go. Like, it's just... He is an animal. You're exactly right. That's the perfect way to describe him. He's a competitor. And we've heard that all week. He's a competitor. He wants to get out there. And that's why, I mean, he is one of those guys when you go into the locker room before, after practice, or after a game, he's the one you're like, I want to hear what he had to say. Because you know he's going to give you a good answer, but you know it comes from passion. It comes from the heart. He's a guy that plays chip on his shoulder, but I think he just plays with heart. And, yeah. You know, it was a struggle at first because you're obviously going to point out people who get a lot of money. They're going to get more critique. That's just part of life.
Baseball, football, Royals.
That's part of life.
You get that contract.
If Garrett Cole goes to the Yankees and he's 2-2 in his first four, you're going to be upset.
Bryce Harper heard that in Philly all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just a matter of this guy's fine. You got sometimes patience is a virtue, and which is hard to do in professional sports. It's hard to do in any sport, but patience is a virtue. And what we're seeing from the whole defense, not just Frank Clark or Tyrann Mathieu, but the whole defense is patience is a virtue. And it also helps that the opponents they're playing have been a little limited in their offensive abilities. It's all a perfect mess.
So when you were in New England, did you feel like you were being watched, filmed? Did the headsets work?
No.
Chris Taylor calls it the place for the headsets.
That was the first time I've been to New England. And
oh, they're real pleasant, aren't they?
Chipper crowd.
Yeah, very chipper.
Chipper group. Very nice group. Two things. One, I hope Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend got out of there okay. It seems like she did. Because, you know, it was hard not to see, like, oh, gosh, I hope she's okay. Like, honestly, I was, like, I'm being serious.
The place is like Oakland. Okay. I mean, there's not much difference from Oakland.
The funny story, we were driving up to the parking lot. I'll give you the funny story. We were driving up to the parking lot. We were a little lost. This is the first time we've been there. because they have a big mall, like right in the Patriot Place. It's a big mall right next to the stadium. Yeah. And so we had to go around that mall or shopping center to get to where we parked. Everybody there, not one person didn't have an accent. But this guy pulls up in like this huge SUV because, you know, I spent time in upstate New York for a little bit. And I know that people in the Northeast are a little bit more farm typey than you would think. So this guy pulls up, big old SUV, wheels way up, and he puts the window down. I was like, "Hey, you try this guy to get over there?" You know, some accent.
It's your khakis.
Yeah, and then and we're like, "Yeah, we're getting lost. We're starting to sound more like them because we're just trying to fit in." And then he says, "This whole parking disaster is a beep show. It's a beep show." It's as loud as you. And
nobody likes parking.
Yeah. And I was sitting there like, and then he finally calms down and says, "You guys from out of town?" We're like, "Yeah, we're from Kansas City." He just like sighs and he's like, "You're going the right way. Just take a right. Lot four is like over there.
Welcome.
You're good. All right. See ya. Can I go through?" "Yeah, sure. All right." I was just like, "Okay, we're in for a different experience tonight. That's the way this is going to be."
I was out there for a game a decade or so ago. And with the Providence, the Chiefs were staying in Providence.
We went to Providence too.
Great brewery around there, too, by the way. Trinity IPA. I didn't realize this, but it's like gold medal at the GAB. Love their IPAs. But anyway, different story. I've done about all of them out there. And this lady was at the store, and I bought some for her. I said, "I hope you have a nice day." And she looked at me, and I was like, "Something wrong with me?"
"You said, had a nice day."
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I legitimately, you know, "Have a nice day. You know, legitimately, like, you having a good day?" She looked at me like there's something wrong with me. Like, wait. She goes, "You're not from here." And I said, No. It's that Kansas City nice.
I know.
Coming out there. Janoris Jenkins, our text line blowing up with Janoris Jenkins. One thing that Serta and I talked about earlier this week, when the Tremaine Bock and these other guys are being cut, Chiefs fans are usually like, when they're cut, Chiefs Twitter wants them. Mm-hmm. Fast.
Yeah.
Our text line wants them. And we haven't seen that as much lately.
Calm down, by the way.
Because they're okay with Sarvarius Ward and the way we're playing. It's the best unit on that defense. Janoris Jenkins, 14 passes defended, did lead the Giants in interceptions. By the way, he was the highest graded defensive back for the New York Giants. Played with Spags in New York. But I've always gone by, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Agree or disagree, this is the year 2019 for at least 17 more days.
We're getting close, Harold.
We're getting close. 17, 18 more days. I think there's 31 days in December, last I checked.
Yeah, I think there is. Yeah,
and that's just the way you can't do that type of stuff. Like, agree or disagree. I always say agree or disagree. You can't. Like, and I watched his somebody. They got to talk to him in the locker room, I guess, yesterday before he was obviously released today. And his remorse level was probably below zero.
Well, I think he's happy.
Yes, it might have been calculated. It looked like it was calculated, honestly.
Yeah.
In fact, he ended up tweeting ever, "Thank God." Like, yeah, so yeah, he's yeah. Like, yeah.
At Jackrabbit or what?
He'll get a gig somewhere. I mean, some team's going to take him.
Honey know? Badger and yeah. Jackrabbit?
I don't think it's going to be here. But it's some team will take him. You hope it's not a division rival. You know, no. but some team will take him. There's always a dysfunctional franchise there. Browns, Raiders, that'll gladly take somebody like that, even though I think the Raiders might have learned their lesson from AB. But, yeah, it's an interesting thing where, you know, like, you got that point in the season. You know, everybody talks about, again, I'll make an NBA reference, everybody talks about the last 10, 20 games where you see a team clearly tanking. I saw a Giants team on Monday that, like, hey, the Eagles are going to stink so much, we might actually try, and just because Eli's here starting. And then when they gave that one up, their next three games are just going to be fascinating, because they're just going to be like, how much effort is there going to be out there in the field for them? And you can say that for about 7 or 8 teams right now. That's you like can't the, say it about the Broncos, right?
It's like
can't
the
say
Bengals about the Broncos. What are they filling them for,
I mean,
man?
Bengals-Dolphins is
why,
a game.
Why are the Patriots even worrying about that? Why do they take the risk?
Bengals-Dolphins is a game coming up next week. Like, there's going to be 12 people there.
What do you think StubHub is going to go for? Five a ticket?
$12.
You think? I think it's too high.
Yeah, it might be. No, $0 is too high. Like, they should pay people to watch that professional product.
Text line wants to know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to Harold R. Kuntz, @HaroldRKuntz on Twitter. Fox 4 News. That's where you know. They said you sound like the Bears super fan from SNL. The Bears. Ditka. Mini Ditka or full-size Ditka? Skit? Who wins next weekend? Chiefs or Mini Ditka or full-size Ditka?
Chiefs, 200, Broncos, 2. That's how
full-size Ditka or Mini Ditka? Yeah, what about Drew Locke? Coming back to KU. It's been the big story. It's
great
story
start.
Denver.
Great start.
They're talking about you go on the road.
Great start.
That blew me away.
I actually talked to Andy yesterday.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Yeah, Andy's good. Yeah, good things to say about you, actually. He's like, Pink, that's my guy. Yeah, Andy's proud. And let's say this. Anybody who's going to be mad for someone who knows somebody who plays for a team, even though they have fandom for a team, like Andy Locke's a father first, so he and his family should be cheering for the Broncos.
Sure.
Because that's their child.
It's their kid. Everybody knew that.
Everybody should know that.
Everybody do that.
Everybody should know that. His high school
blood's thicker than water.
His high school coach for the Lee Summit Tigers, he basically said, you know what? I'm all about Drew. You know, I'm a Chiefs fan, but I'm all about Drew. So, you know, ideally, in an ideal world, the Chiefs win 42-39. Drew plays great. We have a lot of questions about the defense. That's not happening. That's just not happening.
Rookie
Sunday.
Quarterbacks 1-20.
Yeah, that's just
at Arrowhead.
Yeah, it's not happening. Because the conditions could be terrible. Two.
Some call it terrible. Some call it good. You're talking about snow.
Depends upon who you watch.
I've been watching you guys, man. You guys have been talking the snow.
Well, you know, we're trying to be reasonable.
These weathermen are getting some airtime, man. They're taking away from everybody else.
Trust me. I used to live in Oklahoma where there's tornadoes.
Oh, they love those, too. Oh, my.
24-hour lockdown.
Snow and tornadoes, man.
It was like watching Training Day with Denzel Washington. 24-hour lockdown. Shoe program. Like, just like, good gosh.
Harold is not related to Rusty. Rusty Koontz was on this morning.
Rusty's my third cousin.
Rusty Koontz was on with Fesco. It's a great interview. Go on demand, 610sports.com. But Harold is not related to Rusty Koontz.
In fact, my first week here, I went to spring training, and I interviewed Rusty, and we talked about the origin of our journal last name for like a good solid 2 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually half-decent television because we had no idea what we were talking about.
He's a fun guy.
We just made up stuff. He's great. Well, I told you, he's my third cousin. So.
Yeah, he's the same guy. I mean, yeah. I've seen him after the games and here on the elevator. Rusty's the same guy, man. Yeah. He just reminds me.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's like Rex Hudler. He's the same guy on TV that he is. I mean, he's got that energy. He's just got energy.
Yeah.
And you got to bottle up that energy. But Drew Locke coming to town, I think it's going to be interesting because what they did to the Texans, that didn't happen. Well, as a matter of fact, it's never happened. We're quarterback, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns for his first road appearance.
Oh,
it made
gosh.
Me really reevaluate. They
tore up Houston.
Yeah, it made me reevaluate how good the Texans are. I'll be honest with you. But it made me reevaluate.
Well, the Texans beat the Patriots, then.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do that. You can't do that in back-to-back weeks. They really miss Clowney, and they miss Watt being healthy. When they had Watt and Clowney.
It's finally showing.
Clowney's in Seattle. That was a joke. Bill O'Brien, I mean, they want to bring him back as GMs and head coach.
Funny because they went all in on this year, and they've gone all down.
They're screwing it up, and the Titans are going to end up beating them.
That's a good game.
Probably two out of the next three because they play two out of the next three.
I mean, but I will say from experience with the Titans, I can tell you those are the type of games where the Titans have full opportunity to take advantage and then for some reason hit the crap button.
So, are you going to Chi-Town next weekend?
I am not.
It's going to be here's the question because I've been arguing with Pete about this.
We argued whether or not to go.
And I told Pete that the NFL rules are 12-day window until week 17.
Because of Saints-Titans.
And then they changed it because of money.
Yeah.
And the TV partners. Then they're waiting on what to do.
Well, let's look at it this way.
And there's people who have already bought plane tickets that are getting around 11 thinking it's a night game.
Look at it this way. Well, yeah, they never
think
about
the fans.
Not
that I have sympathy, because that's you've got to be careful.
College does 6-day weeks.
Of course,
every week.
Time.
But it's the difference between, like, driving from Lawrence to Norman for a game or something like that and flying to Chicago. Obviously, that's why college can do 6-day weeks. When it comes to the change of time, I mean, wouldn't you want to see Saints-Titans? You see a team that could be number one in the NFC versus a team that could clinch the division if they beat Houston this week. That is obviously a more enticing game, despite the fact that we know New Orleans and Tennessee don't have the cachet that the MVP versus the third largest media market has.
No.
But the Bears play the Packers this week, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
if they lose, they're pretty much done.
Yeah.
So it makes
But it's still Mahomes Trubisky. Yeah. It's still Mahomes. And Mahomes the draw on television. He just is.
Mahomes Trubisky will still be a draw if it gets a good afternoon
sleep. I know the Brady Mahomes were a big draw.
It was one of the best highly rated games.
Harold, you gotta go or you can stay around?
I can stick around for
you
a
stick around. Yeah. All right, I want to talk about Patrick Mahomes. Is he worried at all about what we've seen, or is he buy into my excuses that I've been giving everybody? We talked to Harold R. Koontz from Fox 4 next.
Middays, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.